Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to a familiar passage, Matthew chapter 28, if you would please. This morning we spent a little time talking about the great commandments. Can anybody kind of summarize the great commandments for me? Good job. Silver star. Love God and love our neighbor, or love others. That really does encapsulate it, doesn't it? Amen. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're the second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, it's all summed up in that. It's all encapsulated in that. And there are a lot of details, and there are a lot of things that flow out of that. That's why we got this whole book. But we understand that it's all wrapped up in those concepts, that if we would love God and love others, then we would fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures. So we move from the great commandments as we looked at them this morning to the great commission that we've spent a lot of time talking about over the years, and there's a reason for that. Because we want Christ's final command to be our first priority. Amen. We want what he commanded us to do, the work that he gave us to do, to be what we're focused on. And we start with the heart, loving. It has to flow out of love, but it leads into action. Because love is a verb. Some of us learned that from DC Talk. Some of us learned it from the Bible. But either way, love is a verb. Amen. Amen. How many of you know who DC Talk is? Just curious. All right. Well, that's a few of you. The rest of you can go Google it later. All right. You guys ready to pray? I think we need some prayer tonight. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to gather again, for the blessings of having a local church, Lord. Thank you for this body of believers. And I just pray that you would help us to grow in your grace and in your knowledge, that you would help us to grow in the scriptures, to grow in the word, that we would have knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Help us to grow in love, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would love one another, that we would love our neighbor, that we would love even our enemies because of the love that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you would forgive me for the ways that I fall short, and I pray that you'll bless your word tonight, in spite of me. I pray that you guide us and teach us all truth. And I pray that the familiarity that we have with the scriptures will not cause us to be numb to them, but that by your spirit and by the power of your word, we would be convicted, we would be moved, we would be motivated to do the work you've called us to do. Please forgive and help, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Jesus died, spent 3 days in the tomb, rose again on that third day, and for 40 days and nights he appeared at different times to his disciples. We know he met Mary in the garden. We know he would appear to the other women, to Peter, to James. We know we have record of this. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The scriptures tell us that he appeared to over 500 of his disciples at one time. And so at different points he appeared to them. And we have them on the seashore of Galilee when he appeared to them. And they ate breakfast together. You remember that? So all of these different accounts that we see, but there was one time, and it seems to be towards the end of the 40 days, that he had appointed the disciples to meet him in Galilee, and when he met them there, he gave them these orders, what we know as the Great Commission. It's fascinating to me because the Lord had already appeared to them multiple times and they still wrestled with their doubts. By the way, any of you still wrestle with doubt? Any of you could say, like the father of the young boy, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so we're not alone in our struggling. We're not alone in our doubting. And we all need God to give us more faith. And so they were there. They worshiped him. But some of them were still struggling with doubts. And friends, that's where we need to be today and every day, still worshiping him, even when we wrestle with our doubts. And so there they were. And Jesus comes to them. And he says, all power. Now, in your King James Bible, the word power sometimes comes from different words. This particular one is a word, power, that means authority. So Jesus says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. And so Jesus, with all authority, commands his disciples to go and to do a work. And what is that work? It's in verse 19, teach all nations. Now, if you've paid attention at all the last several years, I've tried to explain to you, there's a couple of different words for teach here, and I hope you remember it. But repetition is the key to learning, so we're going to remember it better this way. This word teach, teach all nations, means to make disciples of all nations. The word teach there is the verb form of the word disciple. So go make disciples of all nations. This is our command as a church. This is our command as Christians. This is our command as disciples, of followers of Jesus. Go make disciples. And so our heart's desire, as we seek to love God and love others, the greatest thing we do to love others is to help them become followers of Jesus. Amen. Love God and love others by being disciples who make disciples. And I mentioned it this morning, but that's the way God intended it to be. Disciples will replicate, they'll multiply into other disciples. And that ought to be our heart's desire as we go through this year. This is basic, but I think it's critical that we get this. You have to be a disciple before you can make disciples. Amen. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? We understand that in just about everything in life. We know that Jesus grew up. He was a son of a carpenter. Amen. And he was a carpenter. Amen. The carpenter's son was a carpenter, and that's often the way it went. If they didn't go into the ministry, into the priesthood, they most usually continued on in the family business, and we see that. We have mechanics who raise mechanics. Amen. Right? Amen. Kind of the way it goes. Carpenters who raise carpenters. That happens a lot. Listen, My boys are never going to learn to be a mechanic for me. That would be impossible because I'm not a mechanic. You guys with me right now? I know this is deep theology, but try to hang with me. I can't teach my boys to be mechanics because I'm not a mechanic. And I can never help someone be a disciple of Jesus if I'm not a disciple of Jesus. And so we want to be disciples who make disciples. I can't make disciples unless I'm first a disciple. And Jesus, when his disciples came, they worshiped him, and even though some of them doubted, they were struggling with their faith, he said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. This was the command that he gave. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So here we go. Believe, identify, and grow. Amen. Do you see it in our text? Amen. It starts with making disciples. Discipleship begins with being born again. Following Jesus starts with trusting in Jesus, and that's where we start with believe. And then we have identify, which is being baptized. This is what we see in the scriptures. People who trusted in Jesus followed Jesus through baptism. They identified with God through baptism. That's what they did. And so there was an identification that happened through baptism. The word baptism is the Greek word baptizo. It's what we call a transliteration. Instead of a translation where we take a Greek word and we give it an English word, they just kind of turned the Greek word into an English word. Baptizo becomes baptism. A lot of people have a problem with that because it's created some confusion in Christianity. Personally, it doesn't matter to me. We understand what the word means. It means to put somebody under. Amen. We would say it means to immerse. If you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, the word baptizo is defined as to make whelmed. That's weird. But you understand when somebody is overwhelmed? We get that vernacular? So to make whelmed means that we are overwhelming someone with water in particular as a picture of the fact that they've been overwhelmed by the power of God in his Spirit through salvation. Amen. We study a lot of passages of Scripture. As a matter of fact, just this past week, a pastor friend texted me and wanted to ask about a particular verse, Colossians chapter 2. He's like, is this spirit baptism or water baptism? And I don't know if you've ever studied that in the Scriptures and you're reading about baptism, if you've ever, as you're reading, wondered, I wonder if that's talking about water baptism or something else. Anybody else ever wonder that sometimes? I'm reading along, I'm like, he asked me what I thought. And here's my opinion almost all the time. Water baptism and spirit baptism, salvation, are very closely linked in Scripture. That's why there's so much confusion about it. Amen. Because baptism, water baptism, is a picture of what God did in your life when you trusted Amen. In Jesus. Amen. The old man was crucified and you've been raised to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism pictures. And so sometimes it's hard to distinguish. Is this talking about salvation or is it talking about water baptism? And here's what I want to say. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you ought to be baptized.
Amen.
You ought to identify with Christ. He gave us that example to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was identified as the Son of God through his baptism.
Amen.
God the Father spoke from heaven. The Spirit of God came down from heaven. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
John knew who Jesus was because God told him, the one who sent him to baptize, told him, when you see the Spirit descending and abiding on the one you baptize, that's how you'll know he's Messiah.
Amen.
And so there was identification that happened for him, and identification happens for us. In Greek literature, this word baptizo was also used to dye something. Have any of you guys ever dyed anything? Like, how many of you have done tie-dye? There's, 90s kids. What do you do? Well, you take something, usually white, and you put it in a dye that's a color, and when you take it out, it's the same color as the dye. That word baptizo was used of dyeing something, and that's the picture. That when you're baptized, it's supposed to identify you with Jesus.
Amen.
Identify you with his Spirit. So our steps are to believe, to identify, and then to grow. The disciples were charged with teaching those who became disciples and were baptized. The disciples were charged with teaching those to observe all things that Christ commanded. Friends, that's growth. That's desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is continuing in his word as true disciples. That's bearing much fruit to his glory. This is growth. And as I said this morning, salvation and baptism are not the finish line. They are the starting line of the Christian's life. And we're going to grow through prayer and fasting. We're going to grow through reading and studying the Scriptures and hearing the Scriptures.
Amen.
We're going to grow through learning to not just know what Jesus commanded, but by learning to do
Amen.
What Jesus commanded.
Amen.
Because we want to be not forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. Don't you?
Amen.
So we believe, we identify, and we grow. You know, this morning I gave you a lot of statistics from the past year. I told you our attendance was down a little. I didn't give you the details. I'll do that now. Our Sunday school attendance from 22 to 23 went from 66 down to 62. Our morning worship attendance average went down from 104 to 102. Our Sunday evening attendance went down from 73 to 68. Our Wednesday night Bible study attendance went down from 75 to 65. But I gave you the good news that our outreach attendance went up from 16 to 18. Why do I tell you those numbers? Because when we talk about growing, this is part of our growing and the next step, which is connecting.
Amen.
Going to church isn't everything there is to being a Christian.
Amen.
But it's part of it. And it's been really difficult as a pastor to try to get that balance right, because I want you to understand that just because you show up and sit in a pew, that does not mean you're walking with Jesus.
Amen.
Like, you gotta know that. But it's hard to say things like that because some people, it seems like here, well, church doesn't really matter then. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying church doesn't matter. I'm not saying that it's not important. I believe that we ought to come together every time we have a chance. As a matter of fact, not just because we ought to, but because we want to.
Amen.
We ought to want to see each other. We ought to want to fellowship with each other. We ought to want to talk to each other and hear from each other and pray for each other and worship with each other. We ought to want to sit and listen to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God together and amen together and stay awake together.
Amen.
We ought to have a desire to be together in this growth. It's part of it. So trying to balance that out to tell you just because you show up doesn't mean that you're walking with Jesus. Some people are like, oh, well, might as well not show up then. It seems like a lot of people are hearing what I'm not saying. So let me clarify. Let me clarify. Being here matters.
Amen.
Matters.
Amen.
But what you do outside of here
Amen.
Matters too.
Amen.
Is that clear enough? I told you we had three professions of faith last year, and I rejoice.
Amen.
I mean, obviously, you know, like all of you, you wish that number was higher.
Amen.
I mean, don't you? I mean, you wish that number was 30 or 300.
Amen.
But glory to God, three people
Amen.
Put their faith in Christ that we know of.
Amen.
Six baptisms. Yeah, I wish that was 60 or 600 or 6,000. But praise God for the six.
Amen.
God sent new members through other ways, through statement or through letter. I'm still rejoicing over the almost 11,000 tracts that were handed out.
Amen.
That's awesome. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking maybe we could do 12 this year. You know, why not?
Amen.
If we're all diligent to give out tracts every week as we go about our business. I didn't share this number with you, and I want to share it with you now. Because part of our hope to see people believe and identify and grow is we go out, we share the gospel, we give out gospel tracts, we invite people to come and see.
Amen.
Now, being evangelistic, preaching the gospel, inviting somebody to church isn't necessarily evangelism, but it's a great thing.
Amen.
It's a good thing to invite people to come and see.
Amen.
I mean, that's how the disciples started out in John 1, isn't it? Andrew went to Peter, was like, come and see. Philip went to Nathaniel and said, come and see. So I think it's a good thing. In 2022, we had 59 first-time guests. 2022, 59 first-time guests. That means that we recorded 59 people who came in these doors for the first time ever. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
That's good. But in 2023, God sent 98 people through these doors
Amen.
For the first time. That's awesome. And if we did what we're supposed to, even if they never came back again, they heard the gospel while they were here.
Amen.
If we did what we were supposed to, we loved them.
Amen.
And we welcomed them.
Amen.
And we made them feel the love of Christ while they were here.
Amen.
Now, some of you are like, well, where are they now? I have no idea where they're at now. But I know this, God sent them here.
Amen.
And when God sends people here, we need to be diligent to love them.
Amen.
To give them the gospel,
Amen.
And to do everything we can, listen to me, and this is one of the things we got to do better at as a church, to create pathways for them to connect.
Amen.
We've got to do better. at creating pathways so people know when they come in the door that they need to trust Jesus. And they need to identify with him through baptism. And they need to grow in Christ. That Jesus isn't just a fire escape out of hell. He is the Lord of our lives. And we want to give everything to him. That people would count the cost and give everything to Christ to serve him and connect so that we can serve and multiply together. We want to be disciples who make disciples. We want to go. That's the command. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the command that the Lord gives. I think I told you a while back, I'll tell you one more time. Verse 20 gives us the other command. There's two imperatives in verses 18 through 20. One is go. Go make disciples. That's the first command. That's the first imperative. The second one is the two letters there. And lo, L-O. Lo, it means to look. We might read it in other places. Behold. The Lord says, look. This is the other imperative, the other command. Look, I am with you always.
Amen.
So, I don't know about you, but when the Lord says, I've got all the authority in heaven and earth, and I want you to go and make disciples, I look out at the world. I look out at just Muldrow, this huge metropolis that we live in. And the task is too big. There's too many people. There's not enough time. How could we possibly make disciples of all these people? And the Lord says, look, I'm always with you.
Amen.
And he reminds us
Amen.
That we're not in this alone.
Amen.
That he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He is with us all the way to the very end.
Amen.
And he is going to give us the power and the ability. He gives us everything we need to do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
You think about the parables that the Lord taught. You guys remember the parable of the talents?
Amen.
When the Lord gave the talents to his servants and he went away, did he not equip them with everything they needed to do the job he left them to do?
Amen.
And was he not just to expect them to have done the work that he left for them to do?
Amen.
And friends, the Lord has given us everything we need to do the work that he left us to do. And is he not just to expect us to have done that work when he calls us home or when he comes again?
Amen.
So we want to focus on the commandments and the commission of the Lord to do his work. As we believe and identify and grow, we look towards connecting, we look towards serving, and we look towards multiplying. If we want to see people believe, that comes through evangelism. Last year we had an evangelism training class and it was awesome.
Amen.
There's a clip in the video. You probably might not have recognized it if you weren't in that class, but it was kind of panning around the fellowship hall, people paired up having gospel conversations. The evangelism training was awesome, and it was encouraging, and we'll do more of that in the coming year. Ever since you guys allowed me to come and be your pastor, we've tried to focus on evangelism and outreach. It's been a huge part of what we try to do. And we're always looking for different ways to do things. This year, as we continue to help, strive to help people believe in Jesus, we're going to try to organize our outreach a little different. We're going to try to leverage the seasons a little better. It's kind of discouraging sometimes in the wintertime and the summertime when we have to say we're not doing outreach today because it's too cold, or we're not doing outreach today because it's too hot. So we're going to organize this winter and summer into teams for weekly evangelism where people can team up. You'll have an opportunity to sign up for an evangelism team. We'll try to help you get paired up with somebody. And we're going to have teams to do evangelism throughout the winter and throughout the summer, where it's a little bit harder for us to go out and go door to door. We don't want to stop.
Amen.
We want to be diligent to take the gospel to others, but sometimes we have to organize it a little differently. In the spring and fall, we'll continue to do what we've done for a long time when the weather's a little bit better for that kind of activity, to go out door to door, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come to Christ. We're going to work to organize our outreach a little differently, but we're going to focus on evangelism. We're going to continue to encourage people to take the next step, to identify, encourage always people to grow. And I want to say this. I gave you a lot of stats, a lot of numbers, but there's a lot of things it's hard to give a number to. But let me tell you this. Just in the past month, couples that are relatively new to the church have just told me in just general conversation about how they read their Bible together every morning.
Amen.
Or another young couple who have started reading their Bible together every night.
Amen.
I can't begin to express to you what a joy it is to hear about people who never read the Bible at home on their own before, who are reading their Bible together every day.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we want to look at these metrics. We want to look at the things that matter and handing out gospel tracts and all those things. But listen, friends, some of you are studying your Bible at home on your own now like you never have before. And that's hard to measure, but I want to tell you this. God sees and God knows, and God is going to help you to grow.
Amen.
We need to connect through worship and fellowship, through classes and groups. We want to serve the Lord personally. Look for ways to serve others. As a family, look for ways to serve others. As a church, look for ways to serve others. That's why we have our ministry teams that we began last year. And we'll continue to try to encourage people to serve in ministry teams. And then multiply. And multiply happens through evangelism.
Amen.
And it happens through discipleship. Where we invest in people to help them in their walk with Christ, where we are close to one another in a way that we can hold each other accountable to help each other grow. Disciple groups are things that have been going on here for a while, and by the grace of God, we'll continue to see those grow and multiply because accountability matters.
Amen.
Okay? Let me just give you one quick example as I try to wrap up tonight. How many of you have your driver's license? See your hands, all right? How many of you who have your driver's license have ever driven faster than the speed limit? Just confession's good for the soul, okay? Now, when you see a police officer on the road, how many of you slow down to the speed limit, at least, or below? Hold on, let's do that again. So some of you guys speed, and you see the cops, and you're like, ah, he's already got me, might as well keep on going. They don't appreciate that, by the way, I've heard. Now, most of the time, if you're driving down the highway and you see a police officer with his radar gun pointed at you, you're probably going to slow down. Why? Because he's holding you accountable.
Amen.
Right? Amen. When you were in school and the teacher had you doing your schoolwork and she was standing at the front of the room watching you, a lot of the children behaved better than when she left to go out of the room for a while.
Amen.
And there was no one there to hold you accountable. Typically, when I was in school and the teacher left the room, it was like a three-ring circus.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We just do better with accountability. We need people in our lives to help us stay accountable. We need people close enough to us in the church who can ask us, hey, how's your Bible reading this week? How's your walk with the Lord this week? How are things in your family this week? We need to have those relationships, friends. We need accountability.
Amen.
And if you're ever thinking, you know what, I'm kind of past that. You know, my walk with the Lord's, it's good enough, and I'm kind of maintaining, and everything's fine. Friend, if your attitude is like that, you're already headed the wrong direction.
Amen.
You're headed for disaster.
Right.
So we want to connect, we want to serve, and we want to multiply. And that multiplication is going to happen as we have real close relationships with one another, surrounded by the Word of God, built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for how God blessed us last year.
Amen.
And I'm hopeful for how God is going to bless us in the year to come. Will you stand with me?